Hello, this is Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette for Thursday, February 16, 2017. U of I opposed admissions bill advances. It guarantees entry to all high school's top 10% graduates. A bill requiring Illinois public universities to admit first-time freshman applicants who finish with a grade point average in the top 10% of the high school graduating class cleared an Illinois House committee Wednesday. House Bill 230, sponsored by Representative Andre Thepedi, Democrat Chicago, was passed by the House Higher Education Committee despite the opposition of the University of Illinois and the Illinois Board of Higher Education. Thepedi said the U of I's Urbana campus has a 5.4% black enrollment, with higher percentages at the Chicago campus, 8.1%, and Springfield, 15.4%. Eastern Illinois University black enrollment is 18.8%, he said. Clearly, our universities are not diverse, he said, and I think it's important to recognize we're talking about our best and our brightest students. We're not just talking about kids who are looking to just get over to get into the university. These are kids who are performing in their high schools, but for one reason or another, the universities opt not to admit them. So now we want to give them that opportunity. The Petty said that the businesses want to see an educated workforce, and this bill seeks to make sure that our workforce, especially our minority students, are properly educated so they can compete in this world economy. Jennifer Creasy, the U of I's Director of State Relations, said the U of I's black enrollment had increased in recent years, but it's still not where we want it to be at. But we're committed to working on that. Creasy said the U of I opposes the bill because we believe that we shouldn't put admission criteria into statute. One of the biggest problems is by going off a class ranking, there are a lot of disparities throughout the state. Every school district does their class ranking differently. So to automatically say that the top 10% is admitted is difficult. She said the U of I uses a holistic approach to admissions, taking into account GPAs, ACT scores, and other criteria. The problem here is the automatic admission. If it was more of a formula holistic approach, Creasy said before being interrupted by Representative Mary Flowers, Democrat Chicago, who said there is a fragmentation in Illinois college admissions. You get to choose and pick the winners and the losers, Flowers said. And my colleague, Thepedi, is trying to say that there's a group of people over here who have been overlooking. Assistant promoted to leader. Her compensation will be up to $235,000 range if board approves the deal. Champaign Assistant Superintendent Susan Zola is packing up her office, fully stocked with LaCroix water, framed covers of her favorite children's books, and an exercise bike, and getting ready to make a move across the hall to a bigger cubicle, one that comes with a conference room attached to it. Come July 1st, when Superintendent Judy Wagen retires, Zola will take her place as Unit 4's leader, the school board announced Wednesday evening. Zola, 54, is a 27-year employee of Unit 4 and has spent the last 5 years as Assistant Superintendent for Achievement, Curriculum, and Instruction, overseeing the district's 12 elementary schools. She's also been around all three of the district's recent facilities proposals put before voters, including the sixth school $183.4 million package that was approved 3 months ago. She says one of her top priorities is to hold on to the momentum the district gained in November. If you think about the affirmation the community provided to us with the referendum recently, I think we take that as a signal the community really does want to be a partner and really is invested in our schools, Zola told the News Gazette. So as we rebuild over the next 4 to 5 years, we need to wrap that in a conversation with our community stakeholders and find out what else the community will support and what else we need to be attentive to. Zola was one of three finalists vying for the district's top job. She was selected over Paul Furgo, Assistant School Superintendent in the North Kansas City, Missouri, and Michael Popp, Interim Superintendent of Flossmoor Schools. Similar to when Wagen was hired, the district paid the Illinois Association of School Boards $22,400 to identify candidates, but ultimately decided to promote from within. Board President Chris Klappel said the board tentatively settled on Zola in January and spent nearly 3 full weeks negotiating the contract. But the lag wasn't due to Zola driving a hard bargain, she said. It's a little more involved at the superintendent level. The board has been really thoughtful, and I think some of it was a timing issue of when the board would connect with each other. I don't think it was anything out of the ordinary, she said. One of the nuances of the superintendent contract is that they have to have specific goals spelled out in the contract. So I think some people don't realize that layer of intentionality that goes with it, into it. She'll receive a total compensation package in the $205,000 to $235,000 range, but her salary won't be made public until the board formally approves her contract at its next meeting, district spokeswoman Stephanie Stewart said. When Zola makes the move across the hall, she'll leave her current position vacant, meaning one of her first responsibilities as superintendent will be to find someone to replace her. Other than that, she doesn't plan to make any changes to the current administrative team. I don't envision a lot of transitions at this point, other than those that are naturally occurring for whatever reason, she said. A former principal of Jefferson Middle School, 2003-12, and Dr. Howard Elementary, 1990-96, Zola said she plans to familiarize herself with the programming at the middle and high schools, since she's already familiar with what's taking place at the elementary level, and start evaluating what's working and what may need reviewing. Also high on her to-do list, addressing achievement gaps, expanding gifted programs for all students, and visiting with members of the teachers and support staff unions. She hopes to connect with local stakeholders and help get the community schools program, which the school board has been vetting for a few months, off the ground. The 8 projects being funded by the district's referendum will be a big part of her new position as well. But overseeing these projects won't be just about bricks and mortar, she said. If you think about a STEM lab and the current science classrooms we have as we are rebuilding those labs, there might be opportunities for professional learning for some of our science teachers that would help them rethink how they do work, because they're moving from a less than optimal science lab to a state-of-the-art lab, she said. There will probably be some building of skill sets and capacity in that space. We need to take that opportunity and really embrace it and ensure when we cut a ribbon 6 years down the road that we're ready to transition into that space as a student learner and as an educator. Clark Lindsay CEO's work honored, Athena Award recipient. Of all the life lessons Deb Reardans has picked up from the older adults of Clark Lindsay Village, she'll tell you the one that stands out the most is how important relationships are. People who have formed connections with other people and are still willing to make a new friend at 90 are the happiest, she said. To see it in action here helps me keep it a first priority, and it makes me a happier person, Reardans said. The 44-year-old president and CEO of Clark Lindsay Village, Reardans, will receive a top honor from the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce today. She's been named the 29th recipient of the Athena Award, which is given to a woman who demonstrates excellence and creativity in her professional life, serves her community, and helps other women reach their leadership potential. 2 Clark Lindsay board members who nominated Reardans called her a visionary with a passion for creating an environment that celebrates personal growth. She has created a healthy community, and this is not always easy in communal living and long-term care environments, wrote Kathleen Holden and David Hood. Also a CPA and married mother of 2, Reardans has been with Clark Lindsay in Urbana Continuing Care Retirement, or Life Plan, community for 20 years. She was named president and CEO in 2009. She grew up the oldest of 4 kids, the daughter of a hospital administrator dad and nurse mom. Her early years were spent in Brazil, Indiana, and her family moved to Illinois when she was in middle school when her dad took a new job in Dixon. She attended high school away from home at the Illinois Math and Science Academy in Aurora and finished her degree in accountancy at the University of Illinois in 3 years. All in the family. Reardans met her husband, Bruce, when she was a U of I student. She was working at a sub shop, and he was her boss. After they got married and started a family, she went to work as a tax and audit accountant at Clifford Gunderson, and he became a stay-at-home dad with their kids, Tim and Susie, both of whom are in college now. We have been a team ever since the beginning, she said. Reardans decided to make a career switch when she was still a young mother, who didn't want her kids to always know when it was a tax season and their mom wouldn't be around much. She was first hired as Clark Lindsay's business services director and took over as chief financial officer 6 years later. Along the way to becoming CEO, she also got an MBA from Eastern Illinois University and became a licensed nursing home administrator. Reardon said Clark Lindsay has about 260 residents and 260 employees, and it's all about a lot more than meals, shelter, and health care for the older adults who live here. It's about everyone, employees and residents, being in the very best place they can be, she said. At the very core of Clark Lindsay, we're about maximizing the well-being of everyone here, she said. Holden and Hood said Reardon is a gifted supervisor with employees, a leader devoted to developing future leaders, and a CEO who never makes a major program or facility decision without consulting residents. She is a leader who respects the intellectual abilities of older adults and is committed to giving control to those adults, they wrote. Too often, well-meaning service providers don't make older adults part of the design team for services. Not only does this deprive the providers of the opportunity to learn from the life experiences and suggestions of older adults, it diminishes the sense of control that is particularly important for this population. Deb gets it. A tip, stay curious. Holden recalled a tour she took of Clark Lindsay with Reardon some 5 years ago that helped her make up her mind to serve on the board. While they were taking the tour, Holden said she noticed saws and other equipment in the woodworking shop and asked Reardon's, wasn't she worried about liability? Reardon's told her if that was the biggest concern, we'd encourage our residents to stay in bed all day, Holden said. Seeing that respect for older adults that did it for me, Holden said, I will be part of an organization that values who people are and how you can work with them to help them grow. Reardon said Clark Lindsay is in a major growth phase, and she's looking forward to see the opening of two new developments, a new fitness and aquatic center, and the first of two greenhouse memory care homes, both coming soon. She also loves to teach. She helped launch Leading Edge Illinois Leadership Academy, which has a mission to develop leaders able to advocate for older adults, and dozens of interns have graduated from a program she started at Clark Lindsay in 2012. County Booster also to be fated. Athena Award Young Professional Award recipient Carly McCrory loves to brag about Champaign County and as a cancer survivor is heavily involved in volunteering. McCrory, 28, will be presented the award today at the Champaign Country Club. The Assistant Director of the Champaign County Economic Development Corporation, McCrory has been honored in Central Illinois Business Magazine's 40 Under 40 for her role in social media and community development. Brag as she might on it, McCrory has only lived in this county for 2 years. She's a Tuscola native and co-founded Tuscola Coaches Versus Cancer, the Douglas County Rotary Club, and Marilyn Davidson High Heel Dash. She also serves on the board of directors for the Douglas County Museum and is a co-chair of Relay for Life of Douglas County. I could not choose between the two counties, she said. I am a cancer survivor, diagnosed when I was younger, so Coaches Versus Cancer and Relay for Life mean a lot to me personally. Marilyn Davidson is the mother of a friend, so I'm interested in growing the fund in her name. But she loves the county where she works. I consider myself pretty lucky because my job is to essentially brag about things here in Champaign County, and I've never run out of things to brag about, McCrory said. She has been instrumental in developing the Your Welcome campaign, the Made in Champaign County initiative, and the Innovation Celebration. She also serves on the boards of the Illinois Economic Development Association and 40 North 88 West, Champaign County's Arts Council. Marketplace Mall. MC Sports chain plans to liquidate. Local store is likely to close. MC Sports filed for bankruptcy Tuesday and will begin liquidation sales at all 68 of its stores, including the one at Champaign's Marketplace Shopping Center. The liquidation sale hasn't started yet, said the local store manager, who directed all other questions to the corporate office in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The store is expected to close, but the company will be pursuing alternative financing and going concern sale options, MC Sports President and CEO Bruce Ullery said. The Champaign Sporting Goods store moved in 2014 from the Market View Shopping Center, where it had been for 20 years, to the mall for more space to add hunting and fishing products. It employs about 16 people. The 24,000 square foot store is adjacent to JCPenney in the mall. Marketplace General Shopping Center General Manager Dennis Robertson declined to comment. MC Sports, which was founded in 1946, has stores throughout the Midwest, including in DeKalb and Bloomington. The company said it faces many of the same difficulties facing the entire sporting goods industry, such as increased competition and the rise of online shopping. MC Sports isn't the only sporting goods retailer to file for bankruptcy recently. Sports Authority closed all its stores after filing in 2016. According to court filings, MC Sports had $174.6 million in sales in the fiscal year 2016, but failed to make a profit, losing $5.4 million. The mall also has a Dick's Sporting Goods, but Champaign County Economic Development Corporation Executive Director Craig Rost said it's unlikely the competition between the stores was the problem. Was it the store or the corporation? It probably is a little bit of both, he said. However, our mall has such a big regional draw of several hundred thousand people, it doesn't seem like two sporting goods stores is too many. 141st Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show, Year of the Underdog. Rumor, the German Shepherd's surprise run from retirement to Best in Show has Urbana co-owners beaming with pride. New York. Rumor had it all Tuesday, making German Shepherds everywhere proud with a rare Best in Show for the breed at the 141st Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. For co-owners Patty and Van Dukeman of Urbana, and the win was a Cubs-like, since Rumor is only the second German Shepherd ever to take the top spot since the show began in 1877. What do you give the dog that has everything? A diamond-encrusted collar? A doggy bowl of solid gold? Her favorite is a New York strip steak. I believe she already had one, Van Dukeman said Wednesday. A judge praised the Shepherd for her nobility. She's from a litter where all the puppies have names beginning with R. She's named for the Adele song Rumor Has It, and like Adele, whose Grammy Triumph Sunday upset Beyonce, she's a veteran. Also like Adele, who's pregnant, Rumor is destined to bring more champions into the world, Van Dukeman said. Rumor beat out Preston, a pulley and the top-ranked dog of last year. The beloved Hungarian canine, who looks like a walking mop, has 95 Best in Show titles to his name. It was a big day all around for Champaign-Urbana, which has two owners who used to live next door 20 years ago on Greencroft Drive in Champaign celebrating. Nancy Chaplin's up-and-coming 18-month-old Pekingese, Chuck, was also among the favorites at the show and won the toy group. They're great people, Van Dukeman said. Nancy has been a pillar of the showing community. When Manhattan won in 1987, Nancy won a group with her Bichon Frise, Patty Dukeman said, referring to the only other German Shepherd to claim the crown. Chaplin also took on one of Manhattan's puppies, Van Dukeman said. Van Dukeman and his daughter were in the stands while Patty watched from home. Handler and co-owner Kent Boyles said he takes his four-wheeler out on the trails as Rumor runs nearby in his Wisconsin home. I haven't run over her yet, he said. Rumor will live with the Boyles in retirement and resume her role as the family pet with her best buddies, a Chihuahua named Massimo, and a Chinese Crested named X, short for Exorcist. Chaplin's Chuck is the son of the 2012 Westminster Best in Show winner, Malachi. Chuck was bred and is handled by co-owner Daniel Fitzpatrick of East Berlin, Pennsylvania. Monday night was the toy group competition. Nancy said she's proud of Chuck. He's a very, very good example of the Pekingese breed. I wasn't expecting him to win anything his first year out. I've had two Peaks and two Bichons over the years. Van Dukeman said Rumor had a great time at the show. She likes the big open spaces to run around, and she likes the cheering. Election 2017 Urbana Mayor. Safety and business take focus in last Dem debate. A standing room only crowd gathered Wednesday night at the Riggs Beer Company to watch the Democratic candidates for Urbana Mayor debate for the last time issues including business growth, family-friendly activities, and attracting families moving to the CU area. The Democratic candidates are incumbent Mayor Lowell Pressing, Alderwoman Diane Marlin, and the Reverend Evelyn Burnett Underwood, Associate Pastor of the New Free Will Baptist Church. The primary takes place February 28th, and the winner will face off against the lone Republican candidate, Engineer Rex Bradfield, on April 4th. Underwood, a newcomer, and Marlin, a city council member since 2009, both stressed how they could bring new ideas and approaches after almost 12 years of Pressing's leadership. Pressing touted her accomplishment from previous years with some suggestions for future changes. In her opening statement, Marlin addressed a rumor regarding her platform to make it easier for businesses to set up in Urbana. "I'm not advocating for laxing the safety and quality regulations," said Marlin. Rather, she said previously that she would focus on cultivating positive relationships with local investors and developers, as well as tweaking non-consequential parts of business development procedures if they are too much of an inconvenience to developers. During closing statements, Pressing again criticized Marlin for wanting to hold off on Pressing's proposal to add 5 new police officers until the current fiscal year ends in June. The proposal came after Urbana saw an uptick in homicides at the end of 2016. After discussion, the City Council decided to hire 2 officers during the current fiscal year and save discussion on the other 3 for the next fiscal year. The mayor needs to see the big picture and not be intimidated by obstacles but work around them, Pressing said. "We don't need a mayor defeated by imaginary barriers like we can't act in the middle of a fiscal year." In the past, Marlin responded to this by saying Pressing had opportunities in past years to hire officers but decided not to. She said Pressing is now making up for that by hiring a handful all at once. Police Chief Patrick Connolly said he couldn't comment on Marlin's comments. Pressing said she didn't hire more police in recent years because she was trying not to lay them off during the last recession, which ran from the December 2007 to June 2009. Other issues discussed: Urbana sanctuary city status. Marlin and Pressing both said they would stand by the title and fight to keep it despite President Donald Trump's executive order denying federal funds to that cities that have declared such status. Underwood's stance on the subject wasn't clear. Making downtown more family-friendly. Pressing said a group interested in adding a children's museum to Lincoln Square will be considered. Underwood said she'd like to see more businesses like Crane Alley, and she'd work to get more community involvement in festivals. Marlin said there should be downtown events scheduled regularly, and that the Sweet Corn Festival should be tweaked to be more affordable and kid-friendly, but that she wouldn't mind a complete reinvention of the festival as well. "I think the city should step back and come up with a plan," Marlin said. "The Sweet Corn Festival loses us money. It did last year. I think it's worn us out and just doesn't reflect the city. We should encourage organizations to submit proposals for it, but the first thing is the city has to say what it wants." Appealing to families moving into town. Marlin and Pressing said they would look and to lowering property taxes to make housing cheaper. Marlin and Underwood said the city needs to be better marketed and advertised to prospective families. Marlin's voting record. Marlin said she voted in 3 local Republican primaries years ago because she was focusing her vote specifically on the candidate involved and not her party allegiance. "In these local elections, you vote for the people," Marlin said. Encouraging business at Sunnycrest Center. Marlin said she would push for a grocery store there since there isn't one now. But overall, she said the area's crime would need to be addressed first. Underwood said she would give the area special attention, and Pressing said its turnover rate wasn't unusual. "We find that when one business leaves, a new one comes in," the mayor said. Marcus Jackson about town. There is no argument about it. Once a star on the court, Elizabeth Pollock is now a star in court. Sitting over a cup of joe at the downtown Flying Machine coffee shop, Elizabeth Pollock laughs about the time she argued with her husband about having that gruesome leg injury he suffered in high school reevaluated. In short, Christian Ray, Pollock's husband of 10 years, insisted he was fine, though he took up his wife's advice. Turns out, after all these years later, he needed surgery. "Told you so," Pollock told him. She won that argument. She wins arguments all the time. It's just what she does. Oh, there was another argument Pollock won with Ray about 6 years ago when she was pregnant with the couple's first child. They were at an Illinois basketball game arguing about whether the child's last name would be Pollock or Ray. "I was like, the kid's name should be Pollock. I'm the one squeezing this child out." Clearly there needs to be a pollock in there somewhere, she recalled telling him. We were battling about that, and at one point this guy wearing overalls in front of us turns around and says, Sonny, just give it up. And I was like, yeah, that's right, give it up. She won that one too. Their children, 6-year-old Gabriel and 3-year-old Tristan, have hyphenated last names, Pollock Ray. The gift of squabbling is something that's been with Pollock most of her life. If you ask my mother, she'll tell you since I was 6. And I wanted to be a lawyer when I was 6 primarily because everyone said I had a big mouth and I argued well. That's after initially wanting to be a veterinarian. I realized you have to take science and I was like, forget that, she said. Apparently, Pollock made the right choice. The 35-year-old has been working for the last 4.5 years as an assistant federal public defender for the Central District of Illinois. It's not a job you take on if the goal is to win most or even any cases. The federal prosecutors are very selective with the cases that they bring, and it is extremely rare for the federal prosecutor to pick up a case they're not guaranteed a victory, Pollock said. It has been at least 20 years since a public defender from the Central District had won a case in court. That is until last month when Pollock scored an acquittal for one of her clients. I was shocked when the verdict came out. I haven't even heard those words in almost 5 years. When I was in state practice, I heard them more often, Pollock said. When I heard not guilty, I was surprised but elated because I think it was the right result. This is not a person who needed to go to prison. The winning case involved a woman who was charged with theft of government property and involved the misuse of Social Security benefits. The defendant, according to Pollock, had clearly received benefits she wasn't entitled to, but she also had mental health issues. Pollock presented a defense of diminished mental capacity, arguing her client could not form the intent to steal. She didn't know what she was doing was improper, Pollock said. It's a specific intent crime, so she has to knowingly and intentionally take the money against the law. She really did struggle with her mental health, and it wasn't right. I felt gratified that it was the result we got for her. It was the right outcome. Campaigning for social justice is something that was instilled in Pollock growing up in the home of her parents, Michael and Renee Pollock. My parents are unique. I was educated very early in the matters of social justice, and they focused on making sure I understood the world around me, Pollock said. They provided me with a lot of different experiences and made me try everything. They were supportive. Pollock is a 1999 graduate of Urbana University High. As a 15-year-old, she and schoolmates from a history class took a trip to Mississippi, where Pollock was exposed to real poverty for the first time. That was the defining moment for me in becoming a public defender, she said. I learned what people face when they don't have any money. As a federal public defender, Pollock is usually dealing with clients who have lengthy criminal histories with multiple convictions. She spends time with them, visits with them in jail, gets to know their families. I do the job because I think it's right, and unfortunately by the time someone gets to me, there isn't a lot I can do. This has been Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, February 16th, 2017. Please stay tuned for Part 2.